Welcome to Rooster Radio, a broadcast dedicated to supporting and promoting local artists in the Gaston County and surrounding areas.
This episode of Rooster Radio is brought to you by Lead Fiddle Guitars. So check it out, y'all. Before we got the Rooster open, we were promoting our business, and I got this random message on Instagram from a guy. His account was Lead Fiddle Guitars, and he started a conversation with me. He started talking to me, telling me that, you know, he likes what I was up to, and I'm going to give a shout-out to him right now. Shout-out to DJ. And ultimately, he told me that he has this business where he makes guitars, handmade guitars. And through our conversations, it was real inspiring. He asked if I would like to have a guitar made for the Rooster. And that's where this guitar came from. And DJ was kind enough to donate it to the Rooster. We have it hanging on our wall by the stage. It's there for anyone to play an open mic. It sounds amazing. And you can see he took a lot of time. He got our logo burned into the pick guard here. He gave it this worn look. And it's just a beautiful guitar. It's a beautiful guitar that sounds great. You know, what's cool about what he does is he takes wood, reclaimed wood from different stuff. I know right now he's working on a piece of wood that was taken from a piece of the stage at Woodstock. And the original Woodstock, back in 1969. And he's working on this piece. And, you know, I imagine this is going to have to be several thousand dollar guitar, but you know, he's got all kinds of amazing guitars he's made out of wood that just comes from anywhere, you know. And you could get one made too, you know. Reach out to Lead Fiddle Guitars on Instagram, reach out to them on Facebook, and if you're in the market for a new guitar, he will make a custom guitar just the way you want it, just the way you like it. And I can attest that they sound great. They sound great on our stage, at least. Of course, that's not when I'm playing it, because I'm not a very good guitar player. So if you're in the market for a unique custom-made guitar, check out Lead Fiddle Guitars on Instagram or at leadfiddleguitars.wixsite.com. Unfortunately, I was not able to, my sound guys, I didn't have a sound guy for last night's show. And last night was a huge fucking show.
Yeah, it was.
And shout out to Mike Phillips, because Mike put me in touch with Ty, who killed it last night. He's a great sound guy last night. It sounded wonderful. So that was, that was making me nervous, having a new sound guy behind the booth. And then yesterday afternoon, I got a text from my bartender, and she had something come up, and she couldn't be here, and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, on a Saturday.
There's 150 people coming, and I got no other bartender. But shout out to Melissa. Melissa, you know, her and I have been talking about her coming and doing shifts here and there, and she was available. So, you know, she saved my ass. Ty saved my ass. And then I got a call yesterday morning, and the band, we were supposed to be here next Saturday. Something went down with the promoter and them. I don't know. Not my fucking business. I don't really care. But I lost my headliner for next Saturday. So I'm on the fly. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. Fortunately, I was able to put a show together. They were also going to be on today's podcast. So, like, everything fell apart this weekend. And all these heroes stepped up, you know. So you're a hero this week. You're saving my ass on the podcast. shout out to Celeste King with Storm Watchers. They're going to come next week and play, and Below Seven's going to headline. And we got a young guys that have been emailing me a lot trying to get here called Nosy Neighbor, which is funny. They're called Nosy Neighbor, and they've just been emailing the shit out of me. I'm like, okay, I get it. So I'm giving them a shot to open. So, you know, we were able to put together what I think will be a good quality show. But, yeah, Like, thank God people are into what I'm doing, because
yeah.
otherwise I'd have been screwed.
It's really funny because I swear this happened yesterday. I drove to Virginia yesterday, and in my mind I'm going through my goals for the next 6 months and things that I got to do and things I want to happen. And in my list of goals I had, I want to be on the podcast for the Rooster.
Oh, that's
and then
awesome.
You messaged me not wow. even like an hour and a half later.
It's weird how, like, I don't know the right way to say this without sounding like a kook, but, like, it's weird how energies kind of find, you know.
Yeah.
You're putting the right energy out there. The things you need will come when it's time to come, that
yeah,
kind of thing.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
I'm doing a bad job of saying that, but,
well,
but you know
I mean,
what I mean,
I,
right?
Like, I feel you, though. Yeah.
She put it out there, you picked up on it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, when I, you know, the first thing, you know, I got that news yesterday morning, I'm like, fuck, that's my podcast and my show. Like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
So I put a couple fillers out for the show that I immediately went to, like, all right, who's coming up in the next couple of weeks that can be on a podcast? And I was like, ooh, I haven't done a storyteller podcast. Ooh, I just talked to Ben. Let me talk to Beth. Like, and because
yeah.
and I just happened to have the calendar in front of me, because you guys are 1 week apart in September, too. So I was like, this is perfect. So
awesome.
Yeah, so thank you.
Yep.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Mrs. Beth Gatlin. Say hey.
What, am I looking at a camera?
You can look okay. at that camera.
I'm a little yeah. nervous. I'll get unnervous.
Yeah,
soon.
You can shake it off. Okay. It'll be fine. We'll talk for a little bit. And so we're going to talk about, Beth is going to be our featured storyteller for the month of April. So she'll be here next Thursday. What date is that?
The 13th,
the
13th. I believe.
So Thursday, April 13th. This is a free show. So I'm coming out of pocket for this one. But she's going to come and tell some stories and play some original and probably some covers too, talking about the inspiration behind her songs, why she became a musician. So we can't talk about that today. Save that for the show. We'll talk about something else. But yeah, Beth stepped in and she showed up to some of our open mics. She showed up to our very first open mic.
I was the first one
yeah,
on
you
your
were
stage.
The very, yeah,
oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Beth was the very first open micer, and that was our very first night open. You were the first person to perform on our stage.
Oh, yeah, I know this.
Yeah.
I took pride
awesome.
In that.
Yeah, and so my parents were here, and she started with What's Up by Four Non Blondes,
mm-hmm.
and my mother loves that song. So my mom fell in love with you immediately.
I love
yeah.
that song, too.
Yeah, and she killed it, and she's been coming to open mics ever since, just wowing people. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, you gig around town a lot, you show up to a lot of the open mics. You know, what kind of got you into the scene?
So in 2021 I started writing songs for the first time. I started playing guitar for the first time, and I would post some online, and a friend of mine, Brian Hatcher, a lot of open mic people might know him, he sent me a message at one point and was like, you know, you should really go play your music on a open mic night. And he just encouraged me until I got the guts to do it. And then I did it and I fell in love, and I've been doing it ever since. I think my first time on a stage with a guitar was like late October or November of 2021.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
So yeah. So you're new to this.
Yeah.
Where the sure. hell did you learn to sing like that?
Oh, no, I've been singing my whole life. Since before I even knew what I was saying, I would be singing. I grew up in church, so, I mean, Ben's my brother,
mm-hmm.
you know. He played trumpet, I decided to play trumpet. He sang, I wanted to sing. Like,
oh.
you know, I didn't let him know that I was as obsessed with him growing up, but
was it just
I
the two of you growing up?
No, but he was the only sibling that lived with me when I was adopted, because
okay.
I was adopted when I was three, and so he was still living at my parents' house. So, I mean, there's that, I guess, but I don't know, just something about Ben and I, we just bonded in a way.
Cool.
Yeah.
So growing up together, learning music together, do you guys ever jam together? Like, have you ever played together as a band?
So that's been very rare as far as, like, us doing it at a show, but it's happened here and there for sure, like Smokey Joe's or, like, somewhere that's, like, big where he feels comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like here, he let me come and play here. I think the first time he ever played here, it was like a Ben and Friends thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of my first times performing with guitar, like a actual gig sort of thing. But yeah, I don't want to, like, take away money from his band.
Yeah.
So we've never thought about doing things like that, and I just want my own band, which I'm finally coming together. So
how is that going?
It's going really well. We start our first rehearsal next weekend. I finally have everybody in place. I have a friend that moved from Washington on the west side that has moved.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying he did it for me, but it's definitely been in the works for a long time, and he's finally here, and he's going to be in it. I got two of my best friends are in it, actually, and then a really close friend that I'm getting closer with. So,
and so you're taking it seriously.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, when you're putting a band together, it's kind of like you're piecemealing a family. Because, yep. With someone with your level of talent, if you want to take it seriously, you have to find other people that are serious people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But still are talented and like to have fun. And so, you know, putting a band together like that on the fly has, you know, you said some of your best friends are on that. Have y'all even had a conversation about how do we keep our sanity and stay friends and also make this a business?
So, you know, something about me is like I'm a very go with the flow person. But I can set boundaries at the same time, and I can communicate, like, really well and listen to somebody really well, even if they don't communicate well. And I feel like I am blessed to have people like that around me. We haven't said, like, hey, here's what's going to happen if everything falls apart, because we're all just very...
Well, you don't want to think about it like that. It's right. Just, it's not even about falling apart. It's about ego, and it's about, you know...
Yeah.
Maintaining some level of respect and, like you said, boundaries for one another.
Yeah.
But being able to vocalize, you know, something you're not happy with or, you know, things like that.
It's going to be interesting. And that is something that I was going to talk about next weekend whenever we all get together is, like, for me, I did marching band, concert band, chorus, musical theater. So there's a leader. At the end of the day, it's collaborative and, like, you know, everybody's vision comes together. But there is a leader that will call the shot if it has to happen. And I feel like in this situation, it'll probably naturally be me if somebody has to take that, you know, like, all right, we just got to decide, so let's do this. and I don't know how I'll like that. Maybe it'll be natural. I don't know. But I feel like at the end of the day, it's all about the art and the message that we want to send. And it'll probably, you know, come together if that's what we're all about. I don't have an ego. I just want things to look good, sound good, and flow.
Yeah.
And I think everybody else that I would include is going to feel the same way.
That's cool.
Hopefully.
I just love hearing you list off all that musical background. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a fun life.
Yeah, I mean, nothing will kill a good thing quicker than ego. Like,
yeah, for sure.
And I've been fortunate so far since we've opened, you know, I haven't really had to deal with many egos. I mean, here and there, I've, you know, a couple of people have come through this building that, you know, might think a little more of themselves than they should.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the most part, everyone's been super humble and super chill and cool and easy to work with. Yeah. And those are the people I'm going to continue to work with. You know, I think it's pretty clear that you come up in here big dick and you're not going to be in here very long. Like, I just don't deal well with those things. You know, there's one guy in particular, I'm not going to name any names, but there's one guy in particular that'll probably never play this stage again.
Yeah.
Because that's what he did. And it's like, I don't, you know, not to sound any kind of way about it, but there's a million musicians that want to play here. I don't need one guy, you know.
And you do come across with so many people who have big egos sometimes, and you're just like, whoa, no, I'm
slow down, homie.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, or if you go to try out to be in a band and they say something like, yeah, Nick, can I rescind my audition because I don't want to be any part of that?
Yeah. And I mean, I can't do music in a vibe that doesn't, you know, flow. Like, I don't like it at all. I'm not going to listen to somebody that, you know, you can see it, you can tell, and it makes all the difference. I don't know how people like that make it that far. I really don't.
Well, there is, and here's me just playing devil's advocate. There is something to be said. Ambitious people, very ambitious people, a lot of time are abrasive. Mm-hmm. They're rough around the edges.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you know that what you do is good. It's real. And then, you know, let's say you're in a scenario where everyone's telling you you're the shit. Right?
Yeah. Like,
I could see where that could lead to
it starts that type of behavior.
Yeah.
But no one playing this stage is there. You know what I'm saying? Like we can't afford bands that are that well known. So I'm not really having to deal with it. But I'd imagine, you know, after 5 to 10 years of success in any form of art, you know, people have been gassing you up. You know?
No, that makes sense, totally. But you're right. That's what I was thinking. If you're on a stage like this, then you're not making enough money and got enough notoriety for
that. I wish, but I mean, really, you know, because a lot of people, like when I started this, right, when I started this whole journey, I started telling my friends, hey, I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to open this venue. I want to, there's so much talent out here. I want to make this place where local artists can, you know, work out their stuff, can practice, can show off and all that stuff. A lot of my friends, you know, they're rattling off all these indie bands that they listen to. And I'm like, you know, no, you don't get it. Like it's for this community. You know, like mm-hmm. it's for, you know, Gaston County, it's for North Carolina, South Kansas, the Southeast, you know, I've had friends, oh, you know what you ought to do, you know who you need to book, you know, you can get such and such band for such and such money. I'm like, you don't get it, man. Like, that's not our goal here.
Yeah.
Our goal here is to elevate this community, the community that you're a part of, yeah. community that our open micers are a part of, you know, and, you know, occasionally, let's say an opportunity presents itself where I can get a band with some notoriety. Here's a great example. And we can bleep this out if we have to, but Rehab, their mm-hmm. management reached out to me. And they're on tour with the lead singer of Saving Abel. Everyone knows those names, right? Everyone yeah. everyone loves Rehab. Great band, you know, or great song, I should say. Oh, God, I'm going to get in trouble for that. But you know, sure, yeah, I'd love to book them. Mm-hmm. But they want so much money, I'd have to charge, you know, $70, $80 a ticket.
Yeah.
How many people are going to pay $75 to come see Rehab?
Yeah.
Not many. You know, and people are like, well, why would you need to charge them much? Well, because we can only put 175 people in here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's not a big outdoor stadium right, or yeah. Coliseum or something.
Honestly, so, I didn't know it could hold 175. I was going to ask you what...
Oh, yeah, we were checking last night.
Yeah. We got really close last night. Yeah. We got really close.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But again, and it goes back to the mission. And you go to our website, you know, read our mission statement on our website. Our goal is to elevate this community, the arts in this community.
And that's what makes it so awesome.
Yeah, and that's why we do the vendor markets, yeah. you know. I guess we should introduce Ariel.
Hi!
I forgot to do that.
It's all right. So, I'm like, who's that weird pink-haired lady sitting there on the couch just going, yeah.
I got purple hair, kind of.
I know,
fading,
I can see.
But, yeah.
Ariel runs our Misfit Market, you know. And then shout out to Tina, who runs the Roostapalooza yeah. Market. You know, these are all opportunities for local artists, local musicians. And then, you know, You're part of the open mic community that kind of, you guys are all in the same place on different days of the week.
Yeah.
Because I see you guys at Trouse on Thursdays.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just really fun to be a part of this community because we're all cut from the same cloth. You know what I mean? Like we're all risk takers. We're all, you know, people who don't fit into that, you know, corporate
misfits.
Structure. Yeah. We're misfits.
Yeah.
That's a great, yeah.
Yeah.
And I love it. You know, so some personal questions, because you're out here gigging, you know, family. What's it like on your family life? You know, you keep what you want to yourself, but yeah. whatever you're willing to share, you know, do you have kids? Are you married? Do you, you know, how does your family feel about you being out gigging and stuff like that?
I have a very interesting life. So I'm a single mom. I got two kids that are 9 and 12. And whenever I became a single mom, I moved in with another single mom. And we live in a house together. She has three kids. So,
oh, man.
Oh, yeah. That's we got five kids in our house. And, I mean, it's awesome. I can do... This is why I'm doing music. Because I moved in with her, and I was working for her business. She's an entrepreneur. And in the first year we lived together, she quit her full-time job and started just doing her business. I quit working and decided to just pursue music. Like, we're just going for
Man,
life.
It's like a Thelma and Louise kind of.
Yeah. It's like they build their own little community and
we
they
did.
Just got each other's backs.
And funny enough, she ended up getting married this year, so we're not both single moms now. But I love her husband so much. So it's okay. Like, we just work together. I keep her kids, she keeps mine. We
That's awesome.
Support each other. It's really great.
I bet those kids are having a blast.
They're living their best lives, even though they don't know it. They'll know it eventually. They're thriving. They're all thriving.
That's cool. Great.
Very cool. It's very cool that you figured out, you carved out your niche. You found a way to live the life you want to live. And that's, you know, Same thing. Ariel has a very similar story. We were talking the other day. I asked her, like, "How is this your full-time thing or what?"
And yeah, because my husband, he got a nicer, better-paying job, and then I got laid off, and he goes, "I want you just to do this. I want you to do what you do because I know you can do it."
Aww.
And that's what I've been doing.
See, that's awesome because I was with their dad for like 10 years, and you know, like lots of things happened that wasn't good, and we needed to break up. But the biggest thing is I couldn't do music. Like, there was no room for me to pursue what I wanted to pursue and take any chances. And so, as soon as I was out, that was it. I was taking some chances.
Now, was that because of your ex-husband?
We weren't married.
Okay, is that because of your ex?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because I was in a band in 2019, and it just wasn't working for him. And we'll just leave it at that. But
understood.
You know,
no.
Yeah. I made my choices.
Go back two episodes and listen to the Hope United episode we did, and we talked a little bit about how you know how people in your life can kind of
manipulate you a little bit.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, and at the end of the day, like once you like start healing from things, you take accountability for your own choices you make, and I ain't making those choices again. So you know, I learned a lot.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now, this is my favorite thing about what I do, getting to have conversations and be surrounded by people who have this mentality. You know, it's, you know, I've said it before, like that corporate life, that corporate structure is so boring. And mm-hmm. I get inspired when I hear people like you speak like that, how, yeah. you found a way out of the thing you didn't want and found a way into the thing you do want. And I'd imagine, you know, I'm sure your brother was mentored some and has given you advice, but you sought out the people in your life that you've got people in your life that are supportive and things like that. I love these stories, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's my favorite part of what I do.
I think the coolest thing is, you know, like I've had Ben, of course, but it actually took a while for me to feel comfortable to be like, "Hey, help me." And it took him a little bit for him to feel comfortable because he didn't want to like make me feel like he didn't believe in me or, you know, think I was capable. And I didn't want to bug him or feel like, you know, I was taking advantage of him because he is, you know, he's great. So it took a little bit, and we just bonded over the fact that I was doing it, and that was it. And with the community of Open Mic, like, I've developed so many connections and so many friends. Like, even from the Rooster, just in the last month, somebody invited me to go play at their gig so that I could get connected.
Hell yeah.
Just different things that I feel like, and maybe, I don't know, I don't want to say it for everybody, but for me, it's like, once you step into your lane that you're supposed to be in, like, everything just comes together. And we'll see how I feel in 2 years from now when I'm not so new, if I feel like everything came together. But right now, it's the best year of my life.
I'm awesome.
Like 31, it's the best year of my life.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that same feeling about, like, you know, I haven't sought out the people that I need to get things going here. I kind of have been patient and let them come to me, like let the right people, you know, because I feel like, you know.
It's okay to ask for help, Michael.
Well, fair enough. I don't want anyone to feel like what we're doing is a job.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, that's why I don't advertise for help. Like, when, you know, when my, the guy that helped me open my bar, the guy that helped me build the, or set the bar up and get, and you create the functionality that we have, he got an opportunity with this, you know, with this, you know, group of people that own restaurants, and it was a great opportunity. So, you know, when he came to me and was like, you know, "I've got this," you know, he was kind of like feeling bad, but he told me, I was like, "Dude, fucking awesome, man. Good for you."
See, I like that. I love how you're supportive of stuff like that, because when I came and told you about that, "Hey, I got this opportunity to do this, so I'm going to still do the main Misfit Market, but I need to do this." You're like, "Yeah, do it. As long as you got it, yeah."
Yeah, I'm going to support anybody that's making their life better.
Yeah.
Even whether it's good or bad for me, that's my problem, right? Like, I shouldn't have control over someone else's life. Do what makes you happy. So, but that left a vacancy. It's like, shit, what am I going to do about help bartending? But I was patient, and I've worked busting my ass, and the right people are coming along.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with you, how things just kind of fall into place. And, you know, it's not without, you know, I don't want to make it sound like it's all roses, because it's not. It's fucking hard. Like, it's really hard, because there's a lot of anxiety, you know, and worry and impatience and all that stuff sets in, frustration.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's an attitude.
the way I look at it is, like, I've worked, like, as a manager before. I worked as a non-working mom before, and there was never, like, a peace in my soul. And even with all the stress of being a musician and, like, you know, the anxiety of not knowing where a check's going to come from and stuff, like, there's peace in my soul. So yeah. I'm good with it then.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Yeah. I think this is a good spot. Talking about peace in your soul, that sounds like a lyric from a song. You want to play a song? I keep yeah, looking sure. at the guitar, and I'm like, I want to hear her play.
Guitar.
I want to hear her play. I want to hear her sing. So
and you're going to be blown away if she sings, because the first time I heard her sing, my mouth just went.
Try not to hit the microphone.
So yeah, intro the song and let us know. In fact, you can push that away a little bit if you need to.
Okay. Oh, not that.
Yeah, give us a little intro. Let us know what you're going to play, and then I'll shut the fuck up.
Okay. So this song is called I Know, and I wrote it in the summer of 2021. I had done like a lot of self-help books and therapied myself, and like this song just came to me when I needed it. Like, it helped me. So hopefully it helps anybody else. I know it ain't easy braving.
Kind of my first open mic a few weeks ago, and I wasn't kidding. When you went on stage, I went, and my husband laughed at me the whole time because I was sitting there like that with my mouth open. Because the soul that came out of your voice, it, I'm getting a little teary-eyed. That's just weird. But I do. I love the soul in your voice.
Man, and see, that's everything. That's why I do this, because it literally is just in my soul. I can't help it. Like, I'll die if I don't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I've been through it. Like, depression, suicidal thoughts, like, drug addiction even. Like, all of it. I'm not.
Sorry.
I'm not
we're both of you teary-eyed.
This is what I get for putting two females on the show.
You know what, Michael?
We're going to have a good cry.
Yeah. No. You know what?
We could.
So while you were playing and singing that song, what was going through my mind was a handful of people that are in my life that need to hear that.
Yes.
Like, I was thinking about people that are, that I know, that are friends, family, that are struggling, that need to hear that message.
Yeah.
That's, God damn, that's what makes.
See, now you're going to get teary-eyed.
Well, that's what makes me so proud of what we do here.
Yeah.
It's what makes what we do here so special.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to hear that song on the radio right now.
Right.
But someone needs to hear it.
Yeah, they do.
Someone needs to hear it right now. Hopefully, you're at home watching and you needed to hear that.
Maybe it'll make you cry like this too. Sorry.
So, is there a particular thing in your life that inspired that song?
You know, like, whenever I got out of the drug addiction and, like, got a grip of my mental health, like, I was just on, like, a journey from then on. Like, I still am. Like, it's just a continuous life journey. Like, I thought my depression went away, but it didn't. It ended up coming back, like, in spirals, and I eventually got on antidepressants. In fact, when I met you, around about's the time that I got on the antidepressant, and life has gotten so much better.
Really?
But with that song, it was more so just, like, telling myself, like, you're braving the wilderness, that's why you feel like you're alone right now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, nobody, as much support as I've always had, because I've got beautiful people in my life, family and friends, it just, you're so alone when you're in that state. But, like, even on the healing part, because before I had, like, the drug friends, you know, and I had people that want to wallow in that self-pity. But, like, now I'm healing and I'm alone, I got my kids, and I got too much to do to pay attention to anybody else anyway. And, like, I was braving the wilderness, and I continue to tell myself that when I feel alone. Like, you're braving the wilderness, you're making a path for other people, you
that's,
know?
That's beautiful, man. Like, I went through very similar phase young when I was younger. When I was, you know, in my early 20s, I worked, it was hard for me to break some ties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to get out of the world I was living in. And I went so far as to move the fuck away. Like, I got out of town.
Yeah.
Like, I took a job that got me out of town, just got away from all of the influences of my life, and just started over. And then when I got there, couple of things I realized was, you know, none of those people were actually my friends. And the problems that I had internally, you know, your geographical location doesn't change that. And that, a lot of people need to understand that.
Yeah.
Moving away or getting out isn't going to fix your problem.
Yeah.
But the isolation and being alone, being a guy, I knew nobody. I didn't know anybody. I was 22 years old. I didn't know anybody in the town I lived in. Being alone like that forced me to figure it the fuck out. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, okay. And I'm just not the kind of person that's just going to, oh, fuck it. You know, like, I need to be challenged. I need to, you know, once I got my mind clear and all the fog lifted from the world I was living in, I started to kind of forge a path. And you were talking about earlier on the way here, or being on the road yesterday and thinking about your goals for the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it started for me, was, all right, I hate myself and I hate my life right now. How do I fix it? Well, what do I want? Okay, well, I want this, this, and this. How do I get it, right? So I started putting together small little goals, and then you start achieving small goals, and then you make bigger goals, and you achieve those, and you make bigger goals, and that's the process.
Yep.
That's the process of life that gets lost on so many people who don't understand that, you know, your life's miserable because you're not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
And once you achieve those little goals, you get proud of yourself, so that builds that confidence in yourself, and just one little step at a time, and then you can go to the bigger ones, and you're getting more, hey, I can do this, I got it.
But, you know, people are so stuck in the shame and the guilt, and, like, you know, I had no idea there was a process to life that could actually better yourself, you know, and better your life. It blew my mind that I could learn how to play guitar and sing at the same time, and, like, I think that's literally one of the first things that taught me, like, I can do whatever I want to do. Like, this is insane. Yeah. To see something start at nothing and then get better, like, I had no clue. I've only done things that I've naturally been good at.
That's the thing about getting out of your comfort zone and achieving a goal, achieving things that you didn't think you had it in you to do. It opens so many doors.
Yeah.
And you'll find yourself trying new things that you never thought you'd try before. I mean, it could be as simple as food. Let's say, like, you're one of these people that, you know, You only eat junk food because you know.
I ate like a child.
You'll ask somebody, hey, you want to go get dinner at this, you know, Asian place? Oh, I don't eat Asian food. Or I don't eat Chinese. Or I don't eat Italian. I don't eat Mexican. It's like, but have you tried it?
I don't understand people that are like that.
But the point that I'm making is just the simplest things in life. It's the simplest things that if you just try something different, you might love it. And then, like you said, you start building confidence. And you start trying more and more new things. And then you realize, hey, I'm a capable person.
Yeah.
That person 6 months ago, a year ago, and it takes time.
And you look back at it and you're like, oh, man, look at this.
Then you start feeling shame for the time you wasted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you got to deal with those new feelings.
Yeah.
But the more you do it, the better you get at it. And the more successful you can become. And the longer you wait, the harder it is. Yeah. That's something else. Like, at my age, people my age, the people that I came up with and grew up with, you know, I never say, like, there's no hope. But some of the people, it's like, that's going to be a long... Instead of saying no hope, that's a long road, right, to get to where you need to be.
Yeah, you dig yourself in a hole. Like, that's the way I felt. And it took a long time to get out of the hole. But, you know, like, I feel like even more so, people don't understand, like, because how do you tell somebody that really feels like shit that, you know, hey, you can actually feel confident about yourself? They ain't gonna believe that. Mm-hmm. But your brain literally can be trained. Like, your brain is not, you know, the runner of you. You can run your brain. And that blew my mind when I learned that. Like, I'm still training it. It still battles me. But you can train your brain. And that's what the process does. It trains your brain.
I try to teach my kid that when they were younger and just didn't quite click. I don't know if I want to explain it right.
You're absolutely right. It's retraining your brain how to think. It's tedious.
Yeah.
It's tedious as fuck. It's like it's stopping yourself in the middle of a negative thought and replacing that negative thought with a positive thought.
Well, you know, even more so, I read a book that really helped me with this, and it said don't even do that. Like, just watch the thought. Watch the thought and, like, ask yourself, why do I feel that way? Like, you know, just ask questions and, like, just acknowledging it helped me, like, stop it. Like, it wasn't even hard once I realized, oh, I'm just thinking about that. Well, let me think about something else.
Yes.
It wasn't even hard at all. It became kind of fun. Like, oh, I caught it again. I still
got
do
you.
It. Yeah. I have a lot of fun inside my head.
Told me, y'all.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great message. It's a great message you're putting out there, and I like it. You got another one in you?
It's called Wish. And little funny thing is I wrote this song in a dream and I woke up with the words.
Oh, wow.
I wish I was heartless. I would have never gave my heart away. I wish I was heartless. I would have never asked you to stay. I wouldn't have felt the love you gave. I wouldn't have felt you take it away. I wish I was heartless, so my heart couldn't feel pain. You give to me, then you take back even more. You build me up just to watch me fall. I'm terrified next time I'll lose it all. Scared of the crash every time you don't call. Oh, I wish I could be like you. I wish I could be like you. I wish I could be like you. I wish I was heartless like you. You gon' see what all I've been through. I wish I could be like you.
It's kind of like a fuck you song, isn't it?
A little bit, and you know,
I it's love a so good funny song.
this song was so crazy. Like, I got the lyrics in my sleep, woke up, and wrote them in my phone. And like maybe a month later, I was doing internet dating, right? Like meeting people on there, and I connected with this guy, and we talked here and there. And he was into music and producing and all of that. And we decided to meet up. And we never went on a date or nothing. We just decided to, like, make some music. And he put the music to
that.
That's
so cool.
And,
wow.
Like, so, yeah, like, I had the words. But he definitely turned it into something cool and recorded it for me and everything. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I like how you said.
Angelic voice. Let me do that a little
bit. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Angelic voice.
Yeah.
Is that a, where is that at?
In Charlotte. He does a little of a lot. He does producing, recording, singing. He sings himself. And he does photography, like, he does a lot.
Cool. So he's another artist as well.
Yeah, for sure. He's all over my Facebook all the time.
It's probably best you didn't end up dating.
Yeah, it is.
We both would have had songs about that.
He's one of my best friends now, though, so it worked out.
Oh, that's good.
And he's pretty, too. He's fun to look at. So.
Oh.
There's nothing wrong with having pretty friends.
No.
Sorry.
No comment. I got nothing for
that. You can't. You're married, right?
Yeah, I'm very happily married, too. Yeah. It's funny. I got out of here last night, and a friend was in town. Mm-hmm. And so he stopped in. He came to the show last night. So after I got out of here, I went and had a couple beers with my friend. And we were just having a conversation, and it came up because another person was there that we were talking to, and this other person also owns a bar. And the subject came up about how, like, you know, being behind the bar, being an owner, like, people, they'll give you attention, right? Like, you'll get to, specifically as a man, from women. And, you know, it's funny because it's almost exclusively married women that will come in and, like, bat their eyes at you and stuff. And I don't know if you're trying to get free shit or not, because that's never going to work.
Usually that's what it is.
Yeah,
that's
I got bills to pay. So, but yeah, we were just kind of joking around about how, like, you know, I'm happily married. I have no interest in the dating world at all. And
I'm not happily married, and I have no interest in the dating world at all.
I don't know how you do it nowadays.
Like, I don't either. The dating on the so websites weird. Don't
yeah,
work.
Yeah, I never did a dating app thing. Yeah. Like, I never did. Like, my wife and I, when we got together, I mean, guys, we're almost 10 years together. Like, later this year will be 10 years we've been together. And I was actually, before we started dating, this is so dumb. I'm going to tell this story. This is so dumb. So I was single for a while. You know, I was a single father. And I was, you know, I wanted to date. So I was thinking, like, maybe I should get on and do this online dating thing. And I have a buddy who was very successful with online dating. And I asked him. I actually called him to the house. We had some beers, started talking. And I was like, you know, I'm thinking about doing this, you know, what do you think? And he kind of shared his experience with me. And I told him back then, I was like, I feel like I like a real experience. Like, I like face-to-face. Like, I feel like the internet thing, like, it just doesn't feel genuine. That's the feeling I got. Now, I know that it's different now. Like, this was, you know, more than 10 years ago where I had this thought. But I literally called my buddy over and was like, tell me what internet dating's like. what do you do? How do you do it? And, like, what are you looking for? And it was silly, you know, looking at it now, it was kind of dumb. Like, just do it or don't. But I just don't know how you, like, I have such trust issues as it is. Like, come some complete stranger through phones, like, is this person real? And then that show Catfish got big, or that movie come out, and the show so my wife and I, early on, we would watch a lot of that Catfish show, and it's like, that's why I never did it. That's why I never fucking did it.
That's hilarious. I never got catfished, and I made sure I wasn't going to be a catfish, because I would put pictures that I looked really pretty, and then I'd put some pictures where I looked uglier than the normal stuff.
So you want to make sure that they were legit.
Exactly. You're going to get whole body, ugly face in one of my pictures, just so you know what I look like in the mornings or something. But
oh, God, that's crazy.
That's brave. Yeah. A lot of people would call that brave.
And it's also brilliant. It's also very brilliant.
Yeah.
Because
that brings out the realness in people. Like, true. All right.
But, you know, I take really good pictures, too, so I don't want a lot of people. Because I do. I look really pretty in some pictures more than I'm, you know, in person. It just is what it is. And so, you know, I can't be tricking people because that ain't right.
I haven't
internet dated. And, like, I've been single the longest in my whole adult life, actually, right now. I think, like, 9 months now. It's been wonderful.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I've been really productive, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, that is something that being single will, if you're a positive, optimistic, creative person, you know, when you're single, you've got so much more energy to devote to other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, like you see it happen all the time, a lot of people, they settle down, you know, which is fine. I'm throwing no shade whatsoever at people like settle down. But, you know, shit. I try not to say her name. Bleep that out.
My wife and I.
My wife and I have been together for almost a decade now, and we're still like adventuring and doing fun stuff. Like, you know, we still go to festivals. You know, she allowed me to open this place. You know, you talk about, you know, a
you
risk.
Said allow. I love that.
Well, I mean, look, I love her so much. Like,
she's really great.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to be without her, so, you know, I don't want to do anything. And that's the thing, motherfucker. Dudes, man, stop being dicks, man. Just be nice to your lady.
Yeah, be nice.
Man, just be nice. Trust me, it's way better.
Happy wife, happy life really probably does make sense, I would say. Because, like, women, I ain't even going to talk about myself, but women, when women are happy, they
everybody's
bring an energy
happy
to the room.
Yeah,
and
no, it's
their
true.
Nurture,
it's
know,
so true.
The nurture in women, like, you know, like, it just elevates the room. Happy wives, happy lives.
My husband's my biggest cheerleader. He really is. Like, I was joking because I was like, I can't leave him at my table to sell any of my stuff because he doesn't work at selling, like, the stuff that I have the passion for. But he can sell me. He can sell me and my talents to anybody. And my friend has, like, she said, no, that's his love language because he loves you. Aww. He can sell you.
Yeah.
So,
he's a
and
sweetheart.
He really does.
Yeah.
He is a sweetheart.
Timmy's a sweetheart. Shout out to Timmy.
Yeah.
Love you, brother.
He really is. He was joking. He told me last night he got flirted with. He's like, this lady just walked up to me and started talking to me. And the next thing I know, she's like, yeah, I'm talking to you and I'm drunk. And he's like, okay.
Make it uncomfortable a little bit.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And when I came off the stage one time after introducing Queen City Siren last night, there was this man who met me right off the stage and started flirting. And he had gotten a few drinks. I was like, all right. But yeah, there's no jealousy there. It's just totally like, we love telling each other those stories and then we just sit and laugh. It's so much fun.
All right, so before we turn this into The View.
Sorry.
let's wrap it up. Is it possible you can play out the show with a song?
Yeah, sure.
You
want
to do that?
Yeah.
Before we do that, tell our audience where to find you, what to look for. If there's any gigs you got coming up, plug them, including ours. And then we'll go there.
Yeah, one second.
You can find her. You can find Beth Gatlin here at the Rooster on Thursday, April 13th for our Storyteller series.
Yes.
Now, and while you're looking that up, I will say this. I'll soapbox for a minute. Storytellers is still one of my favorite ideas for what things we can do here at the Rooster. The idea is that there would be no cover charge, no tickets. It would be a free show.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be one, maybe a duo, but mostly one artist who makes music that tells stories, and they get on stage and they talk about why they became an artist and the inspiration behind the song, or maybe there's a story behind this song, and then play the song. And it becomes more of a transactional kind of between the artist and the audience. You know, it's supposed, the idea is to bring them closer together, like deepen the connection between the artist and the audience they have. Get to know a little bit more about this artist. You know, that's what storytellers are supposed to be. And I've just had the damnedest time trying to get people to come to it. And we've done it three times. We've had three amazing performances, but no one was here to see it. I'm just like, what the fuck is wrong with people? This is the cool, one of the coolest things we're doing is storytellers. So come next Thursday, April 13th, and come get to know Beth.
Yeah, Michael just said you need to try something new just a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
You could find somebody you really like and become a fan in no time, and then know all what it took to make that song that you fell in love with.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what you're like. You might be inspired yourself. You might hear a story that you're going through right now, And it might make you feel better about whatever situation you're dealing with. It's just, you know, again, I'm going to keep trying with the storyteller thing. And, you know, hopefully at some point it'll finally click for people. Oh, this is something we should see because, yeah. you know, it's a great concept. Anyways.
I like it.
I'll step off the soapbox. Tell them where to find you.
So Facebook, Beth Gatlin Music. Instagram, Beth Gatlin Music with the dot in between the words. TikTok, Beth Gatlin Music. And I try, you know, for me, like, it ain't all about the music. It's about, like, a whole brand of, hey, I'm a normal person, but I'm trying to make beautiful things from my trauma, and I just want to, like, show that. So, like, I show a lot on my social media. Like, I really would love people to follow me, interact with me, like, tell me if you feel something I say, ask me questions if you want to know how I did something or what I'm talking about or whatever. Like, that's my favorite thing. Like, eventually I would love to write a book. Like, I just want to connect with people, and, like, singing is the easiest way because that's my gift, but it's about people to me, so follow me.
Awesome. So what are you going to play us out with?
Well, I did one of my ones from 2021 summer, which was all about, like, my mental health and spiritual health. I did one from a breakup. I'll do, like, a love song.
All right.
I think this was the first love song I ever wrote, and I've never even been in love before, so I don't know how I can write it, but I did.
What's it called?
It's called Soul. Let me take my time, show you true love. Yeah, I can take my clothes off, but that's not enough. Look into my eyes, show me that you want it. We can take it slow, make you ask for more. We go deep, we go hard, baby, don't get shy now. Breathing in, breathing out, it's about to go down. Just bear your soul to me. Let me really see your heart. Just bear your soul to me. This is the start of something new, something bigger than me and you. Might not have all the answers, but we have the truth. Look into my eyes, show me that you want it. We can take it slow, make you ask some more. Go deep, we go hard, baby, don't get shy now. Breathing in, breathing out, it's about to go down. Just beg your soul to me. Let me really see your heart. Just beg your soul. Just beg your soul, just beg your soul, just beg your soul, just beg your soul to me. Let me really see your heart. Just beg your soul, just beg your soul, just beg.